You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, over the last few weeks, I'd say, we've been having this conversation on depression and different aspects of the subject. And so today we're looking at supporting loved ones through depression. And Yolanda Rootman from the Vista Clinic joins us yet again for yet another conversation. And this time we're focusing on supporting loved ones through depression. Yolanda, good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
Thank you so much for making time once again. And today we're looking at our responsibility as the loved ones of someone going through depression. And we know that supporting a loved one going through this can be a challenging experience, especially when you don't fully understand what exactly is happening, right? So many people struggle with what to say, what to do, fearing that we might make things worse. And so today we want to just discuss how we can provide meaningful support to someone who's battling depression. So what would you say are some helpful and unhelpful things to say to someone with depression? I can think of a few myself.
Which ones do you have, Bongi? Which ones do you think would be helpful?
I'm always looking at it from the quote-unquote from the church or the spiritual aspect, which the most common thing would be just pray about it.
Okay. And would you say that was helpful or unhelpful?
I really feel like it's very well intended, but I don't think I can say it's very helpful, because I think one of the first things that any Christian would do is to pray about it. So at that point, it's like, I have prayed about it. So,
and that's such a very beautiful and important point, because I always say to someone when they say, you know, pray about it, like, yes, definitely pray about it. But we can also be there in supportiveness and stewardship in so much more than just that. Yes. I do believe you should pray for your friends, your family, and the people. But don't just pray. There's other ways we can show up as well.
Right.
So some helpful things. I've got you some helpful phrases and unhelpful phrases. Mm-hmm. So some helpful phrases would just be, I'm here for you. As simple as that. Just saying to someone, I'm here. In whichever capacity you need me to show up for you, I'm here. Then I may not understand exactly how you feel, but I care about you. Mm-hmm. To kind of validate that, where I can see you're struggling, I know that you're going through something, I might not understand it and say the wrong things, but I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to be here.
Yeah.
You're not a burden. So a big thing and a big struggle that people with depression have, and why they keep it to themselves, is they have this deep-seated belief that they are a burden to those around them. Mm-hmm. So as simple as just saying, I'm here, you're not burdening me, I want to be here for you, makes the world of difference.
Oh.
It's okay to take it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes change happens a millimeter an hour pace, and that's okay. What can I do to help? Being more specific and intentional. And you're not alone. How can we as a community, or me as a person, or us as a friendship group or a family help you through this?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some helpful phrases.
Okay.
Some unhelpful phrases that I would strongly recommend you stay away from is just snap out of it.
Right.
Other people have it worse. You're being dramatic.
Mm.
Think positive.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that one as well.
Just be positive.
Just be positive, okay? You should be grateful for what you have. I have met so many people that are absolutely so grateful for what they have and understand that they are so privileged, but it doesn't take away this overwhelming sadness.
Mm.
So let's try and stay away from that one. And then, you're always like this, or everyone goes through this. That's a very difficult one. So we want to validate and we want to support, but we don't want a strong arm.
Mm. I think some people are, when you validate, it's almost like you are encouraging the person to carry on in that, which kind of feels like we think they have the power to get out of it on their own. So, and all they need is just a bit of tough love.
And it is. And I think that's why I normally, in my therapy sessions, I make a distinction between validation and regulation. So your thoughts and your feelings are always valid, because who am I to tell you what you're thinking and feeling isn't valid. It's your experiences. Right.
Yeah.
It's what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
However, your behavior and your actions are regulated. And this is where boundaries and structures and communal norms and rules and those things apply. So although you're, and that's where people make the mistake, where mm-hmm. they say, if I validate your feelings, I'm also validating your emotions. So I can validate what you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
but still boundary and regulate your behavior. Those are two separate things.
Got it. Now, how can family and friends create a supportive environment for a loved one who is depressed?
Family and friends can play a crucial role in creating a supportive environment
mm-hmm.
For a loved one who's suffering from depression. So educating yourself on depression, read up more about it, know more about it. That will just give you some more knowledge to really support the people in your life. Practice active listening. Listen to what this person is telling you. They just want to share their experiences and what they're going through. Be patient and compassionate. It's hard to reach out. They don't always have the right words.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage, but do not force, healthy activities, getting that person out, getting them re-engaged. Reduce stressful environments as you can.
Right.
Respect their boundaries. So give them space when they need it, but remain available and let them set the pace for that social interaction.
Mm.
Then be consistent in your source of support, because that also is very difficult in when someone is trying to provide support to you, but you're not consistent in that. So
right.
today I'm trying to support you, but tomorrow when you phone me, I'm unavailable.
Mm.
So if you are not someone that knows that you can be consistent in your support, rather not offer your support or offer very specific support,
okay.
which you feel more comfortable in doing. And then things to avoid in that environment is that toxic positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, just be positive. Just look on the bright side. Oh, look how great this is.
Mm.
It very often just makes that person feel they're the problem, that their inability to see what is good with the world and to appreciate what's good with the world makes them a yeah. problem and a burden.
Yeah.
And blaming or shaming. Depression isn't a choice. It's not like they chose to be depressed.
Mm.
And very importantly, neglecting your own well-being as the caregiver or the supporter.
Right.
You also have to know where your boundaries lie and where you draw the line in that support.
Yo, the guilt that goes with that though, sometimes, because you're thinking, I have to be there for the person. I can't, I mean, they're going through something. I have to. And sometimes even to your own detriment. So I think that's another issue all on its own. Like that, I don't know if it's some kind of survivor's guilt. I don't know what it is, but I think that's a struggle that some people have.
Definitely. And remember, caring boundaries is a thing.
Mm.
It's okay. You cannot care for others if you're pouring from an empty cup. So
true.
To be the best support, you need to make sure that, and that's a thing where they say in a plane, you know, put your own mask on before you try and assist other people, because you're not going to be able to assist very good or very long if you don't have that support for yourself.
Exactly. Beautiful. So suppose I have a loved one who is going through depression, but they refuse to seek help for whatever reason, maybe the stigma or anything, or maybe they think they can handle it themselves. What's my next move? What does someone do if their loved one refuses to seek help?
Okay. So if a loved one refuses to seek help for the depression, I understand it's very difficult and it can be frustrating for the people that can see that there's an outcome. So stay calm first. You're going to feel worked up. You're going to feel like, oh, I have to jump in and save this person, that savior thing you were just talking about.
Yes.
And avoid pressuring that person. So don't force or guilt them into getting help. More just kind of give your presence and reiterate that they were there. I care about you and I'm worried. I'm here to listen whenever you want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I'm here. Put that out there. Focus on a specific concern. So instead of just throwing that blanket term out there of you need help, you need to do something about this, you need to address this, you can say, I've noticed you've been isolating yourself more and sleeping a lot. That mm-hmm. seems really hard. Have you thought about talking to someone?
Okay.
So I'm saying that this is what I'm seeing.
Yes.
I'm concerned about this thing. do you maybe want to talk to someone about that? And how can I support you in that regard? So that also is less threatening and makes it more specific to that person.
And less accusatory.
Definitely. And then also offer help in a practical way. So sometimes the process of seeking help feels overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So offer help in terms of, I've researched some therapists and support groups. Mm-hmm. Here are their numbers.
Okay.
Help them schedule an appointment. Would you like me to phone someone for you to go with them? So maybe for the first session if they're a bit scared or feeling overwhelmed. Then normalize seeking help. Have those conversations that there's nothing wrong with reaching out. There's nothing wrong with saying you need to talk to someone. Be persistent but respectful of their boundaries. Mm-hmm. So keep checking in, gently revisiting the idea, but don't push them to the point where you're pushing them away.
Right.
However, the last two is the most important, and that is, in a case of a crisis where immediate action is, that's when the caring, subtle, present approach is not going to work. So if they are harming themselves or others, you call, take them to hospital, call authorities, get an ambulance, get them the help they need.
Okay.
Call a crisis hotline, call emergency services. Mm-hmm. And then once again, reiterating, take care of yourself. You cannot be there for others if you can't show up for yourself. Mm. So have those boundaries in place.
Okay. And so speaking of taking care of yourself, what else can caregivers do to ensure that they don't experience burnout while supporting someone with depression?
Okay. So caregiver burnout is a real risk when supporting someone with depression. Mm-hmm. And it's crucial to prioritize your well-being while continuing to offer compassion and care. Mm-hmm. And how we do that, to recognize signs of burnout. So you have to check in with yourself and start to look at, do I feel emotionally and physically exhausted? Am I frustrated and very irritable with this person? Am I neglecting my own needs? Those are indications that maybe you're on that base of self-burnout.
Right.
You need to set boundaries, be clear on what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say no when you're at your capacity. Avoid being available 24/7. Create mental space. So take regular breaks. Mm-hmm. And an example of that could be, I want to be here for you, but I also need some time to rest so I can support you better.
Right.
Prioritize once again your self-care. And if you yourself as the carer or the family member need a professional to help you in that support, to help you get through this, as well as how can you support that person, reach out. You also have access to those resources.
Yeah.
Avoid that savior complex, believing that, and you mentioned it earlier, that it's my job to fix them.
Yes.
This is my responsibility.
Yeah.
And you can only show up with your resources that you can give. It's still the responsibility of that person to decide if they want to take it. Mm. And then focus on what you can control and don't get so caught up in what you can't.
Right.
And then create a plan, hopefully with that person. Mm-hmm. But what is a plan that you can support the best way you can? Mm-hmm. And then where do you have to draw your boundaries?
Okay, I like that. I think what speaks to me the most about that is that you are intentionally deciding, making that decision of, this is what I can and cannot do. This is how I'm going to respond in this kind of a situation. That way, you're not responding like on the spot. You don't have to start doing guesswork on the spot. Am I going to be available or not in this situation? Is this something I have to deal with right now or not? You've already set the boundaries beforehand before anything has arisen. So I like that you're being thoughtful about the other person as well as yourself, so that both of you can come out of this in a healthy way.
Yes, and you're also creating a structure for support too, because then that person knows within this I am able to ask for.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't always show up and then you're not a good support system.
And then what are some practical ways to help a loved one without overstepping boundaries? Like you talked about the fact that we you know, you can be persistent without being don't be a nag about it and don't be in the person's face. What are the practical ways that we can do that?
Okay, so supporting a loved one with depression while respecting their boundaries can be very tricky, but manageable. So first things first, ask, don't assume. So always ask how they would like you to support them. Don't just assume your support is what they need from you. So very often we're like, especially as Christians, especially as helping people, wanting to be there for each other, wanting to support each other, we're like, oh, I'm going to help this person and I'm going to show up and I'm going to do this. But they don't necessarily need that support at that moment. Mm-hmm. So asking, how can I help you today? Would it be helpful for me to just listen or brainstorm ideas with you? Mm-hmm. Do you maybe need me to do something practical for you? That's great ways where you can support.
Sure.
Okay. And in that way, offer concrete, specific help. Mm-hmm. So depression makes simple tasks overwhelming. So offering a specific support to let you know that I'm here for that thing and I'm here if you need me. It also helps you to not say, let me know if you need anything. Let me know, because you can't offer everything. You can't just offer anything. You have to know and be clear, what can you offer? So practical examples would be, how can I cook a meal or order takeout for them or help them clean or drive them to appointment or run errands? And a simple way of saying that would be, do you want me to come by and help you tidy up this weekend? Mm-hmm. Can I pick up groceries for you on my way home? So those are like practical things.
Okay.
They respect their autonomy. Mm-hmm. So is it okay to offer a suggestion, but don't push it? So don't say, oh, I'm the one who doesn't have depression, therefore I know what you need.
Right.
It's once again saying that, would you mind if I offer a suggestion? Would you mind if I give you my opinion in this? Would you mind if I tell you what I'm seeing?
Okay.
Because sometimes they're not open to your suggestions. They just... be a consistent and reliable presence. And that's why I'm saying, rather know your boundaries, and you put it so beautifully, being aware, because it's more important that you're consistent in your support than the amount of support you offer.
Beautiful. I love that. And then as we're wrapping up, did you have something else that you wanted to add to that?
Oh, I'm just ending up as to saying, encourage small social connections, having that person just like connecting with people around them and within their communities. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, also just respect emotional boundaries and keep on encouraging that professional help.
Right. And so what I wanted to say as we're closing is, there's a very frustrating thing, and we talked about it just a moment ago, but suppose if you want to help someone, and like you're saying, they've set up all these boundaries, which you are trying to respect. You want to respect and honor their boundaries. You don't want to be pushy about something that they're not ready to do. Sometimes it's very easy for us to, in our frustration, just say, okay, well, I've done what I can. You're on your own. How do we avoid getting to that point? How do we accept their quote unquote rejection without taking it personally? Their rejection of our suggestions.
That's a very difficult one. And I think you have to ask yourself, and this might sound a bit harsh, mm-hmm. but the question you need to ask yourself is, am I helping because of me, or am I helping because of them? Am I helping because I want to feel better and I want the validation for helping, or am I helping to be there for someone else? And that's a hard, tough question. And then the second thing is to recognize it's okay if you reach that point, because all that means is that, okay, I have done what I can now. And then taking a step back and saying, obviously the support I have been offering isn't helping.
Yeah.
So how can I connect them with other types of support which I cannot offer?
Right.
Or how can I show up in other ways?
Okay.
And that would be as simple as, I have tried for my part to help you with one, two, or three.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me and help me? How would you like me to show up for you? How would you like me to support you?
Right.
And then go from there.
Love it. I think that makes perfect sense. And of course, just recognizing that the other person is not okay, and they can't now take on the responsibility of taking care of you and your feelings.
Exactly. Yeah. And they can't. And that's why you have to be like, oh, I'm not doing this so that I can get my merit helping someone else badge, as harsh as that might sound. But I'm actually here to be there for someone else.
Yeah.
And it's not about me, it's about them.
Beautiful. Yolanda, thank you so much for your time once again. Really appreciate these conversations and the insights that you're sharing with us on this subject. God bless you, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. Bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.